This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tiger baseball less than a week away. How about that? And I feel like the buildup for this season isn't really there. Injuries to Parker Meadows and Matt Vierling, who was the backup plan to Bregman, who they didn't land in free agency, right? Now we're pinning our hopes on Baez and Torque playing bigger roles, guys that the fan base didn't even want to have on the roster at this point. And I feel like a lot of the talk on the run-up up to the season is pessimistic. Right? Whether you want it to be true or not, I think most fans have had this black cloud over the start of the Tigers season. And they're coming off of a playoff appearance, a playoff series win, one win away from the ALCS. And I don't feel like we've talked about this team as a team that can get to the next level based on the offseason. But ESPN has their breakout candidates for this year's baseball season, and they list the Tigers fourth among all baseball to have a breakout season. So I wonder, what are we missing? Let us know. And I have some theories and ways that the season could break right for the team. But what do you guys think? If the Tigers do have a breakout, what would lead to that? What are we sleeping on as we get to the start of the season here? 248-539-9797.
So if that is to happen, I think there needs to be a nerve that wakes up for Parker Meadows sooner rather than later.
So he only misses like a month, we'll say.
I'm hoping
ideally maybe, less.
Ideally maybe only 2 weeks. Okay. I mean, we haven't had an update. I know he hasn't been in the lineup, and I don't know really what he's doing behind the scenes. So I don't know how long that's gonna be. I don't know that they even know.
My point is, if he missed a month, like he woke up today and he still needed 2-3 weeks to ramp up, gets to the team, it's a month. That'd still be more Parker Meadows than we had last year, which would be a positive.
Correct.
So that's one way where you can go, okay, actually, it's not as doom and gloom as we may think. Okay, that's one thing.
All right. Spencer Torkelson. I think this is going to be it's going to be a wonder. And it could be a wonder in a positive way. I think it's a wonder right now because nobody has any idea what to think. Even as of 2 days ago, they're facing the Sox, the Red Sox, and he goes 2 of 3. He's batting .325. It also had a walk. Like he's getting on base. He's making contact. Leads the team with 4 home runs in spring. Like it's, could he have found his swing? And 2 years ago we thought it happened.
Right.
And then last year happened, and it was horrific. And now all of a sudden, We thought going into spring, there's no chance he's going to be on the roster. He's going to start in AAA, and there's probably no chance he really ever comes up. Like this is going to be, he could be a part of the organization for a few years, but there's really nothing from Spencer Torkelson.
Right.
Now, if they are going to be that quote-unquote breakout team, they will need him. They will have to have him, whether it's at first, field, or it's a DH. Like, if he can hit at this pace, he's batting .325.
does which that I don't not expect.
Well, I don't expect that either, but does that not amaze you, like, right now? In, just even in spring training, he couldn't do that last year.
Right.
And so I think that is one that maybe we are underestimating.
So think about this. So he had 30 home runs 2 years ago. There's mm-hmm. clearly power in the bat. He was a mess last season, right? He couldn't hit the fastball over the middle of the plate. There's no better way to describe you than a mess. That's a pitch a major leaguer should be able to hit, and he should still be able to hit. He actually had a higher OPS in September than Colt Keith did, and he has a better MLB track record than Colt Keith has. If he is even shades of the player of 2 years ago, that would do so much for this team, this lineup, their ability to hit right-handed pitching.
Right, but so...
Or okay. left-handed pitching, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, that would be huge.
So Colt Keith, we just mentioned Spencer Torkelson, 325 in spring training. Guess who's been hitting better than Spencer Torkelson?
Who?
Colt Keith. Not by much, 326.
Yeah.
So they're in essence the same. But
if you're getting production out of first base, you weren't a year ago between the two of them.
First and DH.
Sure, yeah.
All right, and do we think Gleyber Torres could be an upgrade this year over Colt Keith of last year?
Offensively, yes.
Okay, defensively, you know.
Maybe not.
Maybe not. But, so now all of a sudden you've got an upgrade on the right side of the infield if you're looking from home plate.
Yeah.
And on the left side, Javi Baez makes the transition to third. Defensively, he is good. Offensively, right now he's batting .214. Is that not an upgrade over what he did last year?
It's not saying much, but okay.
So the low bar,
yeah.
But he's still over that bar.
Again, this is the case for the Tigers to be better than last year.
Uh-huh. Trey Sweeney defensively. Pretty
That's
good
solid.
Last year. Yeah. Solid at shortstop.
And get a full season of that.
Uh-huh. And I mean he's not really hitting in spring. It's .184. So not excited about that. And then you think about the pitching staff. As we stay in the infield, mm-hmm. to a pitching staff. Tarek Skubal, Jack Flaherty back for another season, and now Casey Mize having a good spring. And you've got competition for those two starting spots. Jackson Jobe might be a part of the mix. You know, he's not trying the data Nat's ass.
Just blowing it by, guys.
Just, yeah. Hey, if you could hit it, good luck. Like I still go back to that quote. It's
a great quote.
Yeah. And so the pitching staff to start the season, we have no idea about injuries, missed games, missed starts. It feels like even though it was good last year, could be even better.
Yeah.
The outfield, we mentioned Parker Meadows. Eventually at center field, Riley Green in left, another year under his belt, another year of experience. We do expect him to continue to be a little bit better, marginally, but a little bit better. He's been good. He was all-star last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then McKinstry bopping around. You know, Justin Henry Molloy with
that's
the bat.
That's a big name.
Kerry Carpenter, if you can get him as your DH.
He missed a bunch of time last year. Again, if Carpenter's healthy and Molloy gets a full season, they're ideal platoon partners. Yeah. Combined, they give you a masher in the top half of your order.
Did I just not paint a rosy picture?
You know, and that's what we're asking of you guys. Cast aside the clouds that hang over this season. And
we didn't even mention Perez.
Well, there you go. Let us know. What is it that would lead this team to a breakout? ESPN has a model. It's some kind of data thing. They've simplified it, they claim, for this upcoming season. And they focus on teams that have a lot of players who might break out and rolled that into teams that could break out. They say there are two types of teams built for a breakout. Those that feature a lot of young players in important roles, and those with a number of key players coming off subpar or injured seasons who project to bounce back. Only the Giants, Brewers, and Rays are higher on their breakout list for the upcoming season. And that's not how we've talked about the Tigers. So, John, I think a couple things. Their pitching staff is going to make it so they don't have a collapse. It's going to keep them in the fight. They're going to be, I think, better on the mound this year than they were last year. When you throw in the fact that you should have Flaherty in the mix with a healthy Reese Olson, with Casey Mize getting a little more velo and swing and miss with the splitter. They have more pitching depth than they did a year ago. Alex Cobb isn't on the opening day rotation, but they did pay him. And at some point, I think he's going to pitch this season. They have more depth. Jackson Jobe won't be a guy who's just pitching in September. They'll have more depth. So I think the pitching keeps you kind of even keel through what could be some bumps and bruises with the lineup and defense. But for them to break out, you're right. You have to start highlighting some unexpected or surprises from guys. I think Justin Henry Molloy, I think Torkelson, those are going to have to be two really big keys for this team. And Baez, nobody expects anything of him. I'm certainly not expecting anything at the plate, but if he can be a glove at third, because they don't have enough good quality infield gloves, that would probably add a couple wins to this season.
So let me just give you some numbers. Now, these are spring training numbers.
Okay.
But if it translates even to a measure, if they're close to them to start the regular season, because this is really where it amounts to, you're going to have to start really strong because of the way the schedule starts. Gleyber Torres, right now batting .323. Riley Green, just under .300. Mm-hmm. Andy Ibañez, .278. Spencer Torkelson, .325. Kerry Carpenter, .333. Colt Keith, .326. Javi Baez, .214, even though it's better than he was last year. Like, there is Justin Henry Molloy. Didn't even mention him.
What's he hitting right now?
Kerry Carpenter, like, I don't know. I don't have that.
You're good.
That number in front of me, but
as of a week ago, I think it was right around 300. So
right.
He's had a good spring.
And so, if you can get those type of bats, I mean, you're talking about that in and of itself would be amazing. Now, I don't think all of those numbers translate to the regular season. You're going to be facing much better pitching on a regular basis, especially when you open up against the Dodgers.
Molloy hitting .302 mm-hmm. in spring right now. Let's get the phone calls in. 248-539-9797. Devel in Madison Heights, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, gang.
What's up?
Oh, not too much. So here's what you kind of stole a little of my thunder. I do believe our pitching will be much better, well, starting pitching, because just by attrition, they're going to be, you know, on the mound and not injured. But the two names that I come up with, I think Torkelson we'll have a pretty decent start. And I really think, somebody mentioned it a minute ago, but Wenzel Perez, I just think he's just going to hold serve. I don't think he's going to be a disaster in center. I think he's going to hold serve just till Parker Meadows gets back. And you cannot undermine or undervalue a guy that's a switch hitter. Now, he hits right. way better left-handed, but, I mean, he's serviceable right-handed. I think if those three happen to pinch in, Torkelson, I think it's going to be way better. We're not asking Torkelson to be a world beater. Hill, just, you know, about a .240 average, you know, 20 to 25 home runs, and we're good there. You know, and then with Perez, just serviceable. So, you know, just to hold down the fort and not kick the ball around the center field,
right.
I think we'll be just fine
so
if those three happen.
Are you talking yourself into a breakout?
Not really. I'm still looking like, yeah, we still got Javi over at third.
Yeah,
I don't know what Justin Molloy.
Which is why this is such a fun exercise. Because, yeah, I ultimately don't buy that this team's going to be better than they were a year ago. I don't. But
neither do I.
But sometimes this is a healthy thing where you have to go, do I need to take a step back and take a deep breath and maybe I'm missing something? Which is why we brought this up. And I appreciate you throwing some things out there. Like, yeah, especially with this nerve issue, Wenzel Perez is going to have to be a guy.
Yeah.
That's one of the keys if they're going to break out. They're leaning on young players, players who have more in the tank, players who have an extra gear. We've asked you guys, if you don't like the dark clouds over the Tigers, well, bring some sunshine to the table. 248-539-9797. How does this come true where they are one of the four or five teams most likely to have a big-time breakout? It's 97.1.
A personal injury of any sort is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney that's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Femininio. If you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Femininio at 855-65-CRASH or go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
.750, we'll get to the stories from day one of the tournament. Get back to Michigan hoops. They won late in the night last night. We got the cookie jar at .735. Right now, talking a little Tiger baseball because we are under a week away, and a lot of the talk on the station, and even us on the show, are not optimistic. We got some concerns about this baseball team. But ESPN.com has their breakout list, and they listed the Tigers as the fourth team most likely to break out this season. And we said, okay, well, hold on. Let's zoom out. Maybe we're missing something. Maybe you guys can help us be a little more positive about the start of the season here and the season as a whole. Ton of response. The first couple, pessimistic as you'd imagine. I see 75 wins max. On paper, the offense and fielding is really bad. Parker Meadows is going to be out the whole year with surgery on the elbow nerve at some point. I just know it. I think this team takes a pretty big step back from last year. Third base is a disaster. Injuries already starting. The defense, especially in the infield, is going to hurt the pitching, and the offense isn't good enough. So this is kind of the stuff we've been talking about. But then other people decided, yeah, I'll play along. Sure, here's what could happen. Torque is such a good hitter, he broke Barry Bonds' records in college. It's got to be inside him somewhere. We just got to hope he can bring it out. He's going to get another chance because of the injuries. Torkelson started his career during COVID, never really got his solid legs under him. Hopefully he can get fully developed now in front of us. We could have one of the best young rotations in baseball. Scooble, Flaherty, Olson, Mize, and Jobe. I'm pulling for Torque while I have zero belief in Baez. Go Tigers. Wouldn't it be nice if our two first overall picks actually turned into at least average ball players? Mize and Torque could be part of the eventual breakout that helps keep this team going.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is looking at either of those guys and thinking, okay, 1-1, you're going to be a superstar. We just want them to be consistent contributors at this point.
This is a big what-if topic, guys. Javi will be Javi. Henry Molloy, McKinstry, Rogers, those are duds in your lineup. Hunter in Tecumseh. If Keith and Torque can bat 50 points lower than spring, I'd be thrilled. You can win with that production. Nate at work. So this is, you're getting kind of a smattering of how people feel about this baseball team. There's a lot of skepticism. We've asked you for a little optimism inside a week. Are we missing anything?
Well, okay. So I hope we've done a good enough job of specifying and giving context to the numbers. This is spring training. It's not the pressure of major league hitting. It's not the pitching. It's not the day in, day out that you're going to face of 162 games over the course of a major league baseball season. So do I think Spencer Torkelson's going to hit 326, 325 on the year?
No.
No. But to that texter's point, if he's 50 points less than that and he's batting 275, isn't that a huge win?
Yeah.
Same thing with Colt Keith. If he's 270, 275, 276.
A little pop, sure, goes a long way.
That's a huge win. That's numbers that we didn't see on a consistent basis other than for Riley Green last year.
The other thing you have to say with spring training, and I'm not watching every single day, and I know many of you guys aren't watching every single day, they're not managing this like the regular season where they're going to platoon this a little more with like a Justin Henry Molloy. Right, with the Carey Carpenter. They're going to put these guys in positions, Andy Ibañez, to where they're going to hit the side that they're going to have the most success with. And that's how they're going to try to juice up what is ordinarily a pretty bad offense. Let's get to Ken in Ferndale. Ken, you're on 97.1.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, I think you guys are looking at it a little bit wrong. It doesn't have to be this huge breakout. We went from like 82 wins to 86 wins, I think, last year, and we're a playoff team. I think if we improve by like four games over the course of a season, we're at 90 wins, and that's definitely playoff worthy. Look at the production we got from first and third and center last year. It was very negligible. If we just improve slightly with Torque and Baez and Wenzel and Parker for more than, we had them for like 2 months maybe last year, we're definitely better. You even mentioned a possibility of a Dingler breakout. I think we're in good shape. Our pitching better be better. We have Mize and Kreidler and Olson. And Jobe, all got names that weren't hardly anything last year. So I'm very encouraged about us.
There's a lot of things that have to go right for that to be true. And I agree with you. I don't think it doesn't sound like it's a stretch to go from 82 to 86 to 89 or even 90. Mm-hmm. Three or four games. And it's just really about being more consistent throughout the course of the year. Don't dig yourself a big hole so you have to go on a hot run at the end.
Well, that's the thing we keep pointing to is how much of that was just lightning in a bottle. Right. Were they really an 86-win team a year ago, or did they just stumble into a 50-year miraculous turnaround?
Well, they were an 86-win team because that's what they did.
No, I know, but he makes the claim that they arrived today as an 86-win team looking to get three games better. Could you not make the case that they are more of like an 80-win team based on some of the injuries and some of the concerns that we have, not addressing third base, more Javi Baez, right? That's the plan, is more Javi Baez. They went on their run last year without Javi Baez. You could make the case they're actually more likely to go backwards than add three wins. They could end up losing three or four wins more likely.
And that's kind of the mystery going into this season, is are they going to be a team where the young guys – they improve. And we're not talking about, Colt Keith last year was a 260 hitter. I'm not talking about him making a jump from 260 to to 300. Mm-hmm. But can he make, you know, 15 points higher? Can he be 275? That would be huge. Spencer Torkelson last year was a 219 hitter. And that's with his time down in AAA. Those numbers aren't included in that. But can he be 30 points better and be a 250 hitter? I think there's a chance that he could even outdo that. But does it come with some pop? Does it come with some power?
Go a long way. We'll talk more tournament later in the hour. Kind of a dud day one in the tourney. But Michigan with a thriller. They're still alive. Survive in advance. Cookie jar as well. But first, Heather with the news.
A former assistant football coach at Michigan was indicted on more than 24 federal charges on Thursday after he allegedly hacked into the computer accounts of thousands of college athletes looking for their intimate photos, intimate videos.
So he could take notes.
Oh, and he did. He took notes on all of them, what they looked like, about their bodies, about their sexual
preferences. Yes. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Over the span of 8 years, Matt Weiss gained access to the databases of more than 100 colleges or universities, and then from there downloaded personal information and medical data of more than 150,000 athletes. He then got access to social media, to email, to cloud storage accounts of thousands of these students, mainly female students, right? Yeah. That's what he was looking for. It's really gross. The indictment says Weiss primarily targeted female college athletes. He researched and targeted those women based on their school affiliation, athletic history, and physical characteristics. His goal was to obtain private photographs and videos never intended to be shared beyond intimate partners.
Disgusting.
I literally wrote down sick.
Yeah. And to think that, I mean, we all have people in our lives, like, you know, how much do you really know about those around you? Yeah. To have sat next to him, to have interviewed him, to be sitting alone in a room with him, knowing now that this is going on behind the scenes, it makes you want to vomit.
We were talking about this during the commercial.
Yeah.
Dude, what are you doing? Like, if you're looking for intimate photos, guess what?
The internet's full of them for free, consensually.
Yes. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, now you're invading people's privacy because apparently that's what gets you going. You're a sick individual.
So disgusting. A Clarkston man, also pretty disgusting. He's facing charges after leaving a sexually explicit note on a teen's car at the Auburn Hills Target this week. So a 17-year-old found this note, called police. The note offered her money for sexual favors, right? So the guy left his phone number on this note as well. So when police arrived, they were able to communicate with him. At first, I thought it was a phone call, but they texted with him, John. And that's the conversation, also sexually explicit as well. And then it turns out the guy was still there sitting in the parking lot in his car. So they found him. They also found drugs in his vehicle and sex toys as well. Guy was arrested, charged with child sexually abusive activity, using a computer to commit a crime, and possession of meth. And this isn't the first time he's done this. Other parents are reporting that their children, their teenage children, have also found notes on their vehicle with the same phone number. He faces 40 years in jail.
Exactly.
Well, and if convicted, enjoy your time behind bars.
Yeah, have fun.
Do you have anything that's not with sexual predators or deviants?
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Okay. Let's hope. Michigan's biggest indoor water park is finally open in Frankenmuth today.
Where's that?
Bavarian Blast Water Park is ready to welcome its first guests today. It's going to be this like soft opening, right? So it's not the big grand opening yet, but guests at the Bavarian Inn who are staying overnight can get access to go enjoy this massive. It was a $90 million water park. It took a while to build and create. It was originally slated to open last fall, but took a little bit longer. 16 new water slides, a lazy river, a huge giant wave pool,
and the first
cabanas, and the first swim up bar.
This might get you to Frankenmuth.
Now you're talking.
There's some new restaurants, dining areas as well. Then there's the family fun center that's filled with all sorts of things, rock climbing, rope courses, all sorts of things. So
sounds great.
The grand opening is expected later this year. So
Jim, let me ask you this.
Yes, John.
Because you have talked about, and we've seen the cabana outfit. And you've talked about the swim-up bars.
Yeah, I love a swim-up bar.
Are you a water park guy? I don't know that I can. Can I see? I don't know that I could see you going down on the inner tube.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. On a lazy river? I could see him just cruising down a lazy river. Oh, no, like the, drinking the hand.
The big slides?
Yeah. The slides, yeah.
I would get down with that.
I'm a water park girl, but I'm not an indoor water park. I'm not a fan of the indoor water parks.
Well, so
to me,
obviously
it's just
in winter,
like a breeding ground of
I think you will
germs.
With kids.
Yeah,
you're looking
mold.
For things to do. This is one of those things in the winter that you can go do. Kids love it. They don't care.
I think in the past I said I would never step foot in one. But now
an
that I have two
indoor water
littles,
park, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, you'll be there.
But now you got two little kids.
Yeah.
So when
we'll
I was
see.
Living in
we'll
West,
see what happens.
When I lived on the other side of the state, Michigan's Adventure is out there. And that's like an outdoor water park. So yeah, I like a water park.
Okay.
All right. It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, the cookie jar. It's Friday. It's 97.1.
Oh, hey, I got to tell you about FanDuel. They're turning up the excitement because March is mad. And turning up the excitement even higher for college basketball through the first two rounds of the tournament. Bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you're going to win a share of $1 million in bonus bets. Now, that's an upset that you don't have to be upset about. FanDuel is the best place to bet on the tournament. You can bet on everything from spreads to money lines to team totals and so much more. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day. That website again, FanDuel.com/971Detroit, because in March, anything can happen. Must be 21 or older and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Winning pre-live money line wager on lowest seed required. Each $1 million jackpot to be split equally among all eligible winners. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable and expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, it's the cookie jar. It's brought to you by Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Bunch of questions. We need some opinions. The first, in the month of March, the month of the Shamrock Shake and all things mint chocolate. Overrated, underrated, properly rated?
Way overrated. Anytime I hear about anything mint chocolate, it's, to me, it's disgusting. The only time anything mint chocolate has any sort of value is the after dinner mint that you get, and I've got to have it with a cup of coffee. I don't mix it in. So I know there are some people that actually drop it in their coffee. No, I'll take a little bite, coffee. That's when I'm good with it. And sometimes it's just chocolate. You know, you get a little chocolate post dinner, and with a cup of coffee is wonderful.
Are those the butter mints?
Well, the Andes mints.
Like the little rectangles.
Yeah, little rectangle ones. Some of them have there's little chocolate almost stir sticks that you can use for your coffee. I don't stir, but shaken, not stirred.
You think overrated, Heather?
Well, I'm going to admit something. Oh, I didn't. I didn't know the Shamrock Shake was a mint shake. I've never had one.
What do you think it was?
I thought
lime?
It was just green for like St. Patty's Day.
Green vanilla?
Sure, like food coloring just to make a shake green. Like I thought it was just a vanilla shake that was tinted green. I had no idea it was mint. So but you know what? I don't mind mint flavored things.
Yeah.
I don't seek them out, clearly.
Yeah.
I would say they're properly rated. Like I don't really hear a lot of like people raving about mint things.
The only mint flavored things I really like is my tobacco.
Mm. Okay.
Sounds great. Delicious. I'm going to say...
Again, with a cup of coffee.
Make sure it's the coffee. I'm going to say properly rated. It is talked about a lot. The Girl Scout Thin Mint cookies.
Yeah.
Mint toothpaste.
Who's brushing... Toothpaste. What adult is brushing their teeth with, like...
What is underrated, though...
Bubblegum.
Yes,
the element of mint.
Thank you.
The element of mint I mentioned is the butter mints. They're outside of Cheryl's desk right now.
Those are good.
The ones that like melt.
Oh, I could just chomp on those.
Is that
forever.
What those ones? Yeah, those are good.
I think underrated. I think it takes a sophisticated palate to appreciate. It's not your toothpaste. Mint chocolate is a beautiful delicacy in our world.
Mint chocolate chip ice cream.
Thank you.
By far the best flavor.
And the thin mints. All good. All right.
How many different brackets are you allowed to fill out?
One.
One?
You're allowed one bracket. As long as you, if you could fill out a number of brackets, but they need to be the same.
What? No, I don't think so.
Multiple bracket person? Yes, that's.
I've only filled out one.
Okay.
One and only. I only have
you
one bracket.
Test.
However, I was going to fill out another, and I just didn't have time.
Would you have a different champion?
I think so.
Then, what do you believe in, really? In
life? I just want to win.
Do you stand for anything, or you're just willing to go with how, whatever the breeze takes me?
My family was doing one, and I was going to fill out one with them, and I probably would have done a completely different bracket than the bracket I submitted in Stoney's pool. Yes, I think it's all right.
Let me help you out here, Heather. It's called doubling your chances.
Yeah.
Okay. Allowed to fill out. As in bragging rights. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes, because that's what gets me. You can't go, well,
I picked him.
In my fourth bracket, I actually had the upset. Dude, you don't get any credit for that. You should fill out one sheet of integrity. That's what you believe. It's what you get credit for.
Well, you can't even say. You can't have an opinion.
I'm not going to have
you
one.
Can,
but
you did.
But you can get one.
No, you can't have an opinion. If you're
not
filling out
to.
One, then you don't get an opinion.
Boomers are
allowed
their
one
bracket.
Even though you agree with me.
If you're putting money, if you're betting on it, you have to pay $10 for each bracket, why not? Put it in as many brackets as you want.
Look, I've got a different perspective on this. It's not a prediction. It's a bracket game. It's a game.
But that guy loves to tell you, well, I had Drake. Well, yeah, and one of the five you filled out. Congrats. They want to brag at the water cooler. You get no credit for that.
Yeah.
The next question is March Madness. What's something in March that's made you mad?
Ice melting on the lake and my shanty. I didn't get it off fast enough. It started to sink. And so I actually had to go chainsaw it out. And it was an adventure. So that made me very mad.
Huh.
Didn't see that one coming,
no,
did you?
I didn't. No. I don't know if I've been mad, really mad this month, but something that kind of made me frustrated. You know how I told you we got this new babysitter?
Yeah.
Months ago, we scheduled one day each month for a date night.
She canceled.
We were so excited for this date night that we haven't had in so long.
Yep.
Oh, and it's canceled. So now we're looking for a new sitter.
The weather's getting nicer, and my e-bike is messed up because my son was riding on the back and was carrying this towel, rag, whatever, and it got stuck in the spokes, and now it's all jammed up, and I can't undo it, so I gotta fix it.
It's a pain in the ass.
Kids.
I went with the Detroit Red Wings. Next question.
Yes.
Would you want to go to space right now if you had to stay for 9 months like those astronauts?
That's a tough one, because if I got to do multiple spacewalks and get outside the space machine, then sure. I would love to. I think it would be awesome. I'd love the view. I'd want the ride on the way up there. I want to feel weightlessness. And as we've all learned, we can work remotely. How about doing some shows from space? What's the view? It's pretty good today.
Live from the satellite. Mm-hmm. It's Heather with the news.
I mean, this is not tough for me at all. It's a hard no.
Really?
Oh, okay.
9 months? I've got to miss out on 9 months of my kids' lives? No, thank you. I'll pass.
Well, that's a big element of this, is 9 months, am I cut off from society? Am I just putting my apartment in space? Can I still watch the Red Wings? Why would I want to? But yes, can I still do that? Can I watch the Lions season?
I'm sure you can stream up there.
I'm going to say no. 9 months is a little lengthy, man. A month I'd probably do.
Yeah, I was going to say, if this was, you go up, you see it, you experience it, come back down. But 9 months too long, I'd say no. What's the ideal trash day?
Monday. No question. I have had a trash day a number of different days. Monday is the king of all trash days.
Okay, but what if you fill it all? Okay, for us, we do the most, if we have friends over, it's usually on the weekends. So if you have trash day on Monday and you fill it up by the weekend, then you have no trash, you have no room left for all your pizza boxes and your, recycling that you've had that weekend. I've never actually thought about this.
Yeah.
I like our trash day, and it's on Thursday.
So we do make more trash over the weekend, and it does build up over the weekend. I like it to be gone on Monday instead of we have the trash build up on the weekend, and then it's got to sit there until Wednesday or Thursday.
I went Tuesday, and the thought is, you have a lot from the weekend, but you don't want to feel
like
at the end of your weekend, you don't want to have to do one more thing and put the garbage out. Tuesday gives you a chance to settle in, get rid of
it. You do it Monday morning. You roll it out
Monday morning for us
on the way to work.
I'd rather do it Monday night.
Like to take out that trash take of yours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Apparently, yes. What's your day?
Thank you.
Monday's great. By the way, the ideal trash collection time in your house is Sunday night after the Sunday Night Football in America highlights before the game starts. That is a perfect time to do the trash. You're back in your couch watching kickoff.
Yes. Simpatico.
Last question. The party starts at 7. What time do you show up?
7:30. Don't want to be the first, and there's going to be somebody that I'm sure will come later. But if the party starts at 7, kickoff probably isn't until 8:15, so I don't want to have too much small talk before.
Heather?
Yeah, I'm definitely not on time, ever.
Fashionably late?
Always. It would be 7:30 or 7:45. Yep. I usually before 8. Like, I wouldn't be an hour late. That's
depends
late.
How long the party is or what the party's for.
Yeah.
Knowing my wife's and I habits of getting to parties, probably 6:57.
Oh, ooh, all really? Right. No.
Greg,
you'd be first there.
I wouldn't. No.
First words with the host.
I don't like that because I probably wouldn't be dressed as the host yet. Like I don't get ready
at 6:57.
Yes.
If the party starts at 7, you better be ready at 7.
I'm upstairs getting dressed. Like I am ready
with
at
the door
7.
Open.
Yeah, come on in,
6:50.
Everyone.
Let's go.
John, you've called me a dork. I'd be there
you
at 7.
Dork.
I'd be there at 7. It's the cookie jar. It's brought to you by Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. It's 97.1.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. It doesn't matter if it's football season, if it's basketball season, baseball season. It's all these great moments are best at the Circuit Resort and Casino. You can catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience absolutely built for us, the sports fan. Chill in one of the 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's in downtown Las Vegas, and it is in one of the most entertaining places in this world. That's Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
That's Trey Donaldson, Michigan Wolverine. He had a big 3 for the brief moment that Michigan was trailing last night. He delivered. Vlad Golden had a couple offensive rebounds late. Eh? 7 feet. Michigan finds a way to win the game. And the stats on this, they have won 11 straight games decided by 4 points or fewer. 13 for the season, ties an NCAA record. You'd say they can't keep getting away with this, but
they do.
Here they are, survive in advance. What are you taking out of that Michigan game last night? 248-539-9797. John, before we get to that, we have some reaction to the cookie jar.
Oh, good.
Texter says, York peppermint patties are delicious, so a vote for the mint chocolate combo, or just mint in general. Multiple brackets, just hedging your bets. You guys are both right on the brackets. It's more money you pay for each bracket, but you can make as many as you want, but you can't brag about the upsets. That's the trade-off. Right. You have to accept the terms if you're going to do multiple brackets.
Yeah.
I just want to win. You tell him, Heather. That's Robert from Corona. Uh-huh. Hey, Heather, you want to tell us about that Clemson pick?
No.
Here's what I think is hilarious. Is I was listening to Carson Anderson. And, well, I mean, yeah, you okay, yeah, you want us to tell us about that pick? And Costa, do you want us to tell us about the UC San Diego pick?
We will have time for that, yes.
Okay, all right, so it goes both ways. But I was listening to Carson Anderson, and they were making some of their picks, and I heard Gator, I think it was Gator, who said, you know, I was thinking about taking McNeese, but I heard Heather in the morning, and we know what the trophy that she has for the picks. So I think I'm going to go with Clemson.
Oh, no.
Your influence. You have now started influencing other shows. Well, you're an influencer.
That's great. Yeah. I wish it would have been a better pick.
Well, hey,
but you know what?
Yeah, you can't win them all. You didn't win them all. You just won more than most.
It's true. That's true.
Most in the studio.
In terms of when to arrive at the party, this one says, my grandma told me it was rude to go to a party on time or especially early. You always get there late to give the host extra time to finish things up and clean up.
Yes.
Well, then
don't say 7.
Yeah, don't say 7:30. If you're not gonna be ready.
I'm not going to show up right at 7 as well, but if that's what time the party starts, then that's what time the party
starts. You
can
show up a little early and then just sit in your car.
That's weird.
Could you show up and then offer to help?
I get dressed like last minute. I'm doing everything else. I'm prepping the food. I'm cleaning the house. I'm getting everything going. in like sweatpants, right?
Yeah, because like, you don't want to spill on yourself.
Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, it's
but you can't be mad at a
6:50. I better get dressed. And so if the doorbell rings at 6:55 and I'm still throwing on my shirt,
if you're not dressed, I would expect more people to show up early.
Not answering the door until 7.
But at 7.
Unless I'm dressed and ready to go, but which
seven,
I'm not.
I'm not rude if I'm showing up when you told me to show up.
No, at 7, you're fine.
Okay.
No, you,
I don't look, like,
yeah,
I don't like
Colin will answer the door.
You can put it back and set it whatever you want. 7:15, 7:30. Whatever time you set, the host, and as someone who has taken a part in a lot of house gatherings at their house, the host could always use just 10 more minutes.
Yep.
It's true.
Tech says, I have a fantasy football draft every year, and I have to tell certain owners that think like John that the draft starts a half hour earlier because
sure.
they're going to show up late.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, but that's a different, that's apples to oranges. If the draft starts at 7, then if you're not going to be there, then you better have it on your phone ready to make your picks. You're not going to delay the start of the draft.
And if the draft starts at 7, you got to be there before 7 because
party starts at 6:30.
Draft
kicks off at 7 or 7:15.
That's the way to do it. Texter says, Jerry and Ypsilanti, big celebrities like John don't want to arrive too early and have to talk to us little people. Just be glad he's there at all.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to you.
I'm always late. I will be late for my funeral. Like, that's the, like, I will be late to I'm late to everything except work usually. I'm here by 6.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm imagining Ghost
just
Heather.
By.
Yeah, Ghost
Ooh,
Heather, yes.
Oh,
yes,
you started already without me.
Oh, I thought we were going to get Dickie V there. Almost close.
Almost, baby. We almost had it. Michigan playing UC San Diego. The Torero. No, not the Torero. The Tritons. King Triton, their mascot. He's Ariel's dad, the Little Mermaid. I tell you what, this team, they're not Little Mermaids, baby. They're not Little Mermaids. They're not Little Mermaids, baby.
We might hear that later today on Who Said It.
That would be incredible. If David is up early, please pull that for your show later. John, your thoughts on King Triton and that game?
Yeah. The Triton wasn't very effective.
By the way, it was kind of a pathetic little like 3D printed like
Triton.
Plastic fork thing.
I know. Looked more like a spork.
Which is kind of where their logo looks. It's kind of a cheap logo. The game came down to the final possession. What did you make of it?
All I made of it was Michigan won. And Michigan was exactly what we thought they would be throughout the course of the game. And what did we know? Hey, they're going to build a lead. Sometimes it happens in the first half. Sometimes it's going into halftime. Yesterday it was going into halftime. They're up 14. Sometimes it's in the second half where they make a run and you're like, oh, okay, they're going to put this game away. Oh, wait, no, we got to make it exciting. We got to turn the ball over. We got to miss free throws. We got to give you opportunities. And then we'll have late second heroics. That's what Michigan, you already mentioned it, 11 times they've won 4 points or less. The last night was just the next one.
Or just the latest one. I want to make sure I give them credit because you do have to find a way to win these games. And Donaldson's shot was big, and he's had a couple of big shots in this little four-game run they're on. Vlad Goldin, when it mattered most, he grabbed the offensive rebounds. He made a couple free throws, which no easy thing last night for Michigan.
And when you're going to be a team with this type of flaws, can't make your free throws, you shoot 55% from the line, you're a team that turns the ball over at a pace of almost 2-1 of your opponent, you're going to have to get some help. And the help they got last night was a team that's really good at the three wasn't good at the three.
That was my first takeaway watching that game, is it was 10-0 in a blink. They went 1 of 12 from three to start that game. I'm going, this is the team that won 15 in a row? This is the 30-win, trendy 12-5 pick?
But who did they win them against?
Well, and that's what you realize. And, like, true story, I went to look up some pronunciations for some of their guys before we talked about them.
You didn't do this before? Like, you know, when you were making your broad, you know, proclamations about UC San Diego and how they're the team that's going to, the 12 that's going to upset the 5?
No, 2 days ago, I was doing this. I was looking up the pronunciations before we did our glass slipper deal yesterday.
And yet you stayed with it.
And the clip, it should have been a dead giveaway. It's like a low-budget broadcast stream only. They got the graphics wrong, and the broadcaster has to correct the graphics on the air. That should have been the dead giveaway, that they haven't played anybody, that they don't belong in this game. And it looked that way for a half. But Michigan's going to Michigan. and they blow big leads and they don't make their free throws and they still turn the ball over twice as much as the opponent. And it's why I'll give them all the credit for winning these games, but I can't in good conscience tell you they're going to keep doing this. They can't keep doing this.
Well, for UC San Diego, they're the Big West. You have to have UC or Cal in your name to be in that conference. You got UC San Diego, UC Irvine, UC Riverside, UC Santa Barbara, UC Davis, Cal Poly, Cal State Bakersfield, Cal State Fullerton, Cal State Northridge. The only one that's not, and in basketball, I don't know why they're in it, but Hawaii.
What happened to me is what happens to people. Oh, there you go. There's the exception. What happened to me is what I think happens to a lot of people this time of year. You look at all these teams, you can't possibly have watched all the Cinderellas or the double-digit mid-majors, and you lean on paper more than you are breaking down X's and O's of all these small schools. And I fell for it hook, line, and sinker for the trendy 12 seed. And I kind of felt like what it must be like if you bought like a meme coin. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, oh, this is the next big thing. You see San Diego. Huck to a coin. Rug pull. Me. Last night. And I lose the bet by a half a point. Mm. Michigan pulls away and wins by 3. Of course they do with a 2.5-point spread.
Hurts.
You don't sound like you have any
sympathy
for me at all.
No.
I'm not surprised.
No sympathy for anybody that loses on a gamble.
All right, guys. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Some takeaways from day one of the tournament. And, of course, a focus on Michigan. As you watched them play last night, are you going, hey, this team can go on a run. They find ways to win. Or are you in the camp of, they're going to lose the next one, man. They can't keep doing this. It's 97-1.